You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Up, Bison fans, welcome back to the Bison Report Radio podcast brought to you by Golf NXT. I am your host and the publisher of the Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and it has happened. Gosh, I wish we had our old board. I wish we had the old studio right now because I would be playing that reggae horn so loud. But joining me here in the Golf NXT conference room is one Blake Engerbritzen, because Blake, the Bison are FBS.
They are. I got to be honest with you. I thought this would happen sometime in my 20s, but I did not think it would happen in February of 2026. And boy, am I glad it did. Not gonna lie, when I found out, my friend texted me, and I don't know what your reaction was or some others, but I frankly cannot believe it, but cannot be more glad that this is happening and that this will be, 7 months away, and we'll be playing Mountain West football in Fargoville.
Yeah, I was on vacation. Had tried or attempted to start the tradition of coaching golf over at Concordia College and of inviting the seniors down to the Waste Management Open and maybe playing a couple rounds of golf, whatever. And we only have one senior this year. So we're just kind of hanging out. We had played golf and walked the tournament grounds. And I think you just texted me, it's happening. And, I'd been enjoying some poolside libations as one does. And I called you sort of angrily because that text message didn't have a lot of information. And then we found out. So that was really, really fun. Ross Dellinger reports Friday night that talks are ongoing. Thamel indicates that it's a done deal on Sunday afternoon. And there's a press conference then on Monday. I think you make an interesting point here that it is kind of a farewell gift from Dr. Cook. I know Bison fans in general were excited about this. When I say this, I mean the Dr. Cook hiring, because of this possibility, because this was out there for a guy with Power 5 experience and, frankly, some university presidents are more athletics friendly than others, and Dr. Cook was athletics friendly. It matters to him, and I think that was a big part of getting this done.
Yeah, and I wasn't here for President Bresciani, but he seemed to be kind of, athletic, football-minded.
Yeah, he very pro-athletics. And Dean was great.
You know, I know Rick Berg's going to be the interim here, but who knows if, you know, the new guy and, the new president, if they're great and they would have gotten this done just hypothetically, then great, but who knows? Maybe they would have kind of been, whatever. It was like, and of course, he's not going to say that, you know, selfishly he wanted to get this done for personal reasons. But you could tell it was a big deal to him. Kind of his, I don't know what the word is, but right at the 11th hour, game-winning shot, I suppose.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, just a guy that was on his last day, literally, at the school, and was allowed or, you know, able to get this across the finish line. And, you know, he'll say that
it wasn't about him, but it's a very, very nice cherry on top of his legacy. Yep. And he loved it here. I think he was very much in a situation where that was the only place that he was going to go, the only place he was going to agree to go. And that's where he went. And you know, sometimes home calls, it's a big deal. But yeah, very, very cool for President Cook. Speaking of very, very cool, we are going to bring on number three, a different number three than the Trevor Gebhardt, who is commonly with us, but a Bison Report OG nonetheless, former special teams monster and linebacker, and now what, Golf Channel superstar, Jackson Brown. How you doing, buddy?
Something like that, man. Can you hear me? Do I got these audio things figured out after being in this industry for a few years?
It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, if we can get Coach P to figure out StreamYard, I would hope that that you are able to join the show. How are you?
Doing fantastic, man. Riding the high from this recent news. Busy couple days for me working here. So that little teaser and excitement this weekend was a great start to the week.
It absolutely was. So Blake and I were just talking about this. Where were you? What were you doing? Let's go with Friday night when Dellinger kind of dropped the hint that it was going to happen, not necessarily when Thamel confirmed it.
Sure. Well, funny enough, super huge surprise here too. Was out and about on the town, having a couple extracurricular beverages,
and everybody was having beverages.
It's a typical thing to do in January or February, I guess, around the Midwest. But happened to be in Florida, actually. Was at a buddy's Airbnb just getting some sun rays, and didn't even have my phone on me. So I didn't even catch the news until the next morning, or catch the drift or whatever you want to call it. So I was in a little bit of a funny state the next morning when I caught the news, and it actually took me a minute to kind of like realize what was going on. I wasn't in the best state of mind.
So, I guess, what are your thoughts, right? Cause there are two, you seem to be where most of us are,
right?
Excited moving forward. There are some, you know, that have they'll never win another national title conversation, or, you know, I'm going to miss playing against UND. I'm going to miss playing against South Dakota State, all those things. But it seems like you're more on the positive, excited track.
Absolutely. Man, I think it was the perfect move for us. It's been a long time coming. I mean, shoot, I was recruited on a loose kind of idea that we were going to be making this move towards the end of my career, you know, in the late 2010s. And it's been something that I've been incredibly excited about. And I think just anybody who's been around the program, and especially those who are, you know, who have been a part of it, just kind of understand what that just one initial in FBS versus FCS really changes about the persona of a team. Obviously, we knew we could play with anybody, and it's been well known that we can play with anybody, but it's been something that, you know, there's just always been an asterisk. You see the Sagarin ratings every year. You see the year over year success, all of these different things, and there's always just that little bit of an asterisk. So this has been something I've been really excited about, the possibility of, for a long time. I think that's just what happens when you're a competitor, right? And when you are in an environment like Fargo has generated, you know the idea is you want to keep striving for that next rung on the ladder, right? And man, I think we ran out of rungs on the ladder at the FCS level. So here we go, next step, right?
I think that was a major point of mine, and I had an opportunity to speak on it a little bit. Was just like, what is the 11th championship going to feel like that the 10th one didn't? What are titles number 12 and 13? I mean, not to disrespect any of those, I guess, now theoretical teams, mm-hmm. but what is left to be done? And I think it's like the tiniest bit of bittersweetness in that, man, you'd have loved for Fresno State to still be in the league. You would have loved for Boise State to still be in the league. You would have loved, you know, for Utah State to still be in the league. And some of those institutions that are on San Diego State, certainly, right? Like, you would have loved to be a part of that Mountain West, because at that Mountain West, and I'm not so sure this one still isn't, but that Mountain West carries the torch for the G6, period.
For sure.
And go ahead.
No. I just, you know, I'm with you 100%. And that was, you know, as we were, you know, kind of excited about it this weekend, I had to kind of rethink about who's even in the conference fully anymore. I had to refresh my memory a little bit after all the, after everyone's moving around so much. But I, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, here's what it comes down to is we're looking at teams like JMU and like some of these other group of five schools having the, even just the dream and the hopes and the possibilities of having some big opportunities, you know, in postseason FBS football. And that's always the dream, right? And that's always been the dream. And you look at how quickly some of these other teams have made the moves, and even the ones that haven't done it necessarily quickly. You look forward 5 years from now in NDSU's future, and you think about it's like, when else were we supposed to make the move, right? Even if that Mountain West conference doesn't have the same names or the same allure it might have did, you know, 3-4 years ago or what have you, you got to make the play at this point. You got to make the move at some point to be able to keep progressing the program forward. So
yeah, and you look now at the league and, you know, all the – again, we're talking about bittersweet, this and that, whatever. But boy, you look at it's still pretty fun. It's still
absolutely
like I still think it's gonna be a heck of a group. Air Force, Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, Northern Illinois, San Jose State, UNLV, UTEP, and Wyoming. You know, I'm not seeing Macomb. I'm not seeing Normal. I'm not seeing Vermilion. There's some really cool road trips. If you were gonna make a road trip, which one would it be? If you got one circled, well, we don't have the schedule yet, but
right.
You know, what are you really looking for?
Well, I mean, you can go the obvious route here. You know, talking about a visit to the island. You can also go, you know, the less obvious but also still really fun Las Vegas route. I'm not a Las Vegas guy personally. Get me outside, get me in the outdoors. Give me to Laramie, Wyoming. I'm going to Laramie. I know I'm finding myself a couple good dive bars. I'll probably bring my snowboard, and I know I'm going to make some really good stories with some Laramie locals.
Love to hear that. Awesome. all right, man. Well, it was awesome to have you on. And, boy, this is exciting things. Any other thoughts you want to kind of get off your chest or anything like that with the big news here?
Oh, I don't, you know, nothing really comes to mind. I mean, it has to be for anybody who is still on the fence about it, for anybody on Twitter that I still see saying that it's, you know, a lateral move or a negative move for the program. I just like want everybody to know how excited everyone that's been around the program is about this. Everybody that's put the blood, sweat, and tears into this thing and seen this thing grow from where it has been in the last couple decades. I mean, I think that speaks to a lot of things, and just the excitement that you can feel kind of invigorated in the fan base and just in the alumni base and whoever else is associated with the program. I think that goes to show just how important this move was for the university as a whole. So I'm really excited about it.
Awesome. Well, be well, brother. We appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you, Ross. Thanks.
Big time thank you there to Jackson Brown for coming on. Looking back at the FCS, I think I'm going to do some fun stuff on Bison Report coming up, probably a top 10 game of this. I tell you, I'll sprain some news here. I think I'm going to write a book. I haven't done that yet. I'd always been waiting for this day because I wanted to write a book that had a beginning and an end. And a book about the transition to FCS all the way through, that has a beginning and the end. And that's not to throw any shade on anybody else that's already written about this dynasty, but just like now it's a story. This is the story of this. So, but I'll have some maybe like all FCS team, top 10 games of all time, right? That kind of thing over on Bison Report. So make sure to get there. We're going to try to get a custom promo going for new folks to join us over at Bison Report. It's the best way to report to support the show is to be a VIP member over at Bison Report. But yeah, last 15 years, 198-22. Just insane. 10 national championships, 16 draft picks. That'll be 18 when Bryce Lance and Cole Payton are selected. A 51-6 playoff record, 38-2 at the Fargo Dome. And they will send 5 quarterbacks to the National Football League. And 2 college game day appearances, and lay on national TV, and has been a major stepping stone for coaches. And maybe this has a chance to improve retention. Now, if as a Mountain West head coach, they do really well, is Tim Polasek going to turn down Wisconsin if it's offered? Is Tim Polasek going to turn down Illinois if Brett Bielema leaves for some reason? Or Iowa State if Iowa State doesn't like what they get from Jimmy? No. I think there are still levels to this. But it's no longer, I don't think, just an automatic stepping stone, and I think that's good. Okay. Polasek mentioning former players is the lifeblood of the program. And yeah, this is what we talked about with Jackson. What would an 11th championship mean? They just lost a playoff game in front of like 11,000 people.
Yeah. It was done. It was, you know.
It would have been a lot cooler if it ended in Nashville with a championship.
It 100% would have, but to your point, like, it's kind of a apathetic, yay. And that's like, you know, the first 5, you know, are a lot different than, you know, I went there for the 10th one in Frisco, and it was great. But it wasn't probably the same as...
That one was a lot about taking the throne back.
Yeah.
Right, because you had SCSU won those 2 COVID ones and had such a run in the head-to-head. That one was taking the throne back a little.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm with you.
No, and like you said a little bit, you know, Polasek, I think he said the BFPA was what he, you know, mentioned.
For sure.
All the stuff we mentioned, like this, we're not sitting here talking about this if it isn't for players of JB's era, if it isn't for, you know, well, I mean, it really isn't if it weren't for, you know, Joe Chapman and Gene Taylor, if you really want to go back that far.
Shout out my guy, Gene, always.
But yeah, it's just a continuous thing that keeps going. And man, it's a lot of fun. But never forget, which is why I think all the stuff I wrote down here in this, there's a lot of content to go in a book if you go through with that. Like, I don't know how long it's going to be, but there's a lot of material to cover. And maybe there'll be another book in 20 years. Who knows?
Probably not by me, but yeah.
You know what I mean.
I think I'll just do it the once.
It's just, you know, people have been banging on the drum with this, though, for, I don't know. How long have you been banging on the drum for it? For 5 years?
Yeah, I wasn't so aggressive until the last couple. I kind of liked where they were at. you know, it's fun to win. It's fun to be the biggest fish. But yeah, the biggest thing for me was last year, and not 2025, but 2024. Took the subdivision back from South Dakota State, won the title. It's like, okay, they can go now. Then go to Brookings, win 38-7, beat UND in Grand Forks, beat South Dakota. I mean, what a year to go out.
Yeah.
I think they beat the Dakota schools by like 80 or whatever the math is.
Other than the UND. Which
no, I'm talking about combined though.
Oh, yeah. 31, USD was by like 140.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, they went 3-0 against the Dakota schools by about 80 points.
And I understand, and I heard somebody on the radio say,
and two of those games are on the road.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Just about, and I'm not here to say opinions are factual or not, but like, I don't understand. It's a little narrow-sighted to me to say that, you know, you're playing in the, you know, the Cure Bowl. It's like, guys, they have a chance to make college football playoff, regardless of if they, you know.
James Madison, who they are better than, was just in the CFP.
In their fourth year as an FBS program.
Yeah.
I think we got to get past a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what these first 2 years are going to look like. I know, you know, Matt Larson told you, right, they're going to petition for.
Yeah, he came right off the podium and was like, hey, you come here. I got something to say. I'm like, all right, let's go. I didn't know what I'm usually in trouble. I didn't know what I was in trouble for, but it was because I asked the question, or I said, how are you going to talk to these upperclassmen about not being eligible?
Oh, right.
And he goes, hey, I got to talk to you. And yeah. And then I think I was looking at the audio clip, and we won't play it here, but he sort of explained why he thinks that today on the Insiders. So I'll be interested to go back and listen to that, because he did explain it.
They did post it. I actually have, you know, instead of paying $5,000, you're paying $5 million. So you're showing we have the financial commitment to come in and compete right away. That's why he believes they should be eligible right away.
Sure.
So
you want another $5 million to be eligible right away? I'm sure that somebody will write that check too.
Yeah, it sounds like the donors are contributing already. So. And that'll be a big deal
I never want to spend somebody else's money, but I tell you, the people that questioned whether North Dakota State had the donor base for this and has the support for this, brother, what are you talking about? that was crazy to me. Boy. All right. You know, TP could have been the fourth head coach that had left. Stayed, and now 2.5 months later, he is what he wasn't before, which is an FBS head coach. Right. He's head coach in the Mountain West, man. God, that's awesome. I'm so happy for him, too. TP's awesome. Larson, this has been building for the last 3.5-4 years. Oh, yeah, I asked this question. Really, since this fall, and especially the last few weeks, Narvaez wanted them. The Mountain West was not talking to other schools. They were zeroed in on North Dakota State. Funding. There is a Climb the Mountain deal. Folks, get out your checkbooks. They are, I think this money is probably already spoken for. $17.5 million in fees. $5 million is due June 1. The football budget is between $7 and $8 million. They need 22 more scholarships. They're already Title IX compliant, but they could add a women's sport if they wanted to. The $12.5 million fee for entering into the Mountain West will be spread over the next 6 years. This is all Brandon Marcello from
CBS.
Yeah, that's us.
So, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
That's what we are. 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports, CBS Digital. That's us. Remaining five payments of $1.1 million will be due on July 1st of each of the remaining years. And through that time, NDSU will not be paying conference dues. So, conference dues are $220,000 a year. NDSU will not be paying that. Instead, they will be paying the higher sum for entering. I don't know what the difference is. Maybe they could have just...
I don't know.
But what it doesn't matter. Okay. Scheduling. They will do an 8-game league schedule with 4 non-conference games. As a 10-team league, they certainly could have chosen to play 9 league games and play everyone and you know, just put three non-cons on your list of things to do. Right now, they would likely play an FCS team every year. And I asked, you know, would you place a rival? And they left that on the table because, like, Northern Iowa basically alternates between playing Iowa and Iowa State. I don't know that it's every single year, but that's what they do. So, I mean, maybe they could alternate playing UND and South Dakota State, but here's the issue there. Those teams are already, you know, at a disadvantage. UND, I think, was 1-5 against NDSU in the Division I era. South Dakota State has a losing record against North Dakota State all time, just lost to North Dakota State by 31 on their home field. You know, if you go like since COVID, or you try to have a very specific window, I think someone said, oh, they're 3-5 against South Dakota State in the last eight. It's like, well, you had to pick a very specific window for that to find that 3-5. Now imagine NDSU as an FBS program with FBS recruiting and FBS resources playing every single time in Fargo. Right. They will never play another game in Brookings.
Thank God for that.
I mean, UND and South Dakota State could come up, but they're maybe not in the same conference.
Yeah.
So the point is, if it was FBS versus FCS, every one of those games is in Fargo. 0.0 chance of a home and home. It's not happening. So you end up in that situation.
And like, they're not going to play in Fargo. Like, SDSU is not going to come to Fargo every single year.
No, but like, you could, like I said, you could alternate it where you play SDSU, then you play UND, then you play SDSU, then you play UND. I don't know. If they want to keep the rivalry alive and NDSU is willing to pay them to come, because that's how that would work, it would be a bye game.
Right.
Maybe. You never know.
I don't know. I'm not – a lot. People are very sentimental. They just are. So I understand wanting to keep this thing alive. I personally don't care.
Oh, I don't care. Bring ETSU here. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I hear a lot of SDSU people still very rent-free about it. And if they want to do it, great.
Brother, I don't know what Tanner Castor is going to talk about anymore.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it would be cool. But again, like, NDSU moved up 2004. They didn't play UND for 12 years, once in 16 years. I'm just not going to be that surprised if they don't play each other hardly at all.
Yep.
So, but speaking of scheduling, I'm interested to see what the non-conference does shake out to be this year.
Yeah, I'd love to see what – I mean, I'm excited to see what Power 5 game they're able to get, if they are able to get a game. That's a huge deal. Obviously, in 2028, they already have Oregon on the schedule.
Right.
2027, they're going to Vegas. They'll still play it does sound like they're going to play Montana State in Vegas in 2027. Very cool. Should be super fun. Okay. We do have a little bit of a time crunch here. Nothing crazy, but we have a little bit of a time crunch here. So moving on. Conference schedule should be out by the end of the month. Right now, they're going to keep probably one of at Incarnate Word. I bet they don't keep that. I'm just saying, I don't think they'll start their season in San Antonio.
No.
As an FBS program. I think they'll probably try to keep either the ETSU home game or the Austin Peay home game. They won't probably go to Central Arkansas. They'll pay whatever it is they need to pay. And they probably won't go to Incarnate Word. I don't think. The P4 one, a lot of people, especially in Minneapolis, wondering if we'll get another crack at the Gophers. It'd be fun.
I don't think PJ would do that, but
PJ is much. PJ really, really likes to schedule a bunch of non-conference wins, go about 3-5 in the Big Ten, and then go win a bowl game. That is bad.
Beat Northwestern State 70-0 and whatever.
Anyway. Okay. 2-year transition window, but as we mentioned, they're going to fight that with the size of the entry fee, not to the Mountain West. Nobody cares about that, but the size of the entry fee into FBS. They'd like to be eligible, even though they are not eligible to participate in the college football playoff revenue. until there's a new TV deal done in 2032, which sounds super far away, but it really isn't. Yeah. That's not that far away. So, yeah, we'll see. JMU and Missouri State both got a bowl game right away. And all that needs to happen is there aren't enough teams with six wins or teams opt out, as happens a lot often, right? You'll get teams like Kansas State this year. Chris Klieman retires. They lose a bunch of guys in the portal. We're not going to a bowl game. As that starts to happen, they have to backfill bowl games, and then ineligible teams like North Dakota State can be added. New destinations. We talked about this a little bit. Vegas, direct flights, Allegiant Air, no free ads, but Allegiant Air direct into Vegas. Albuquerque, really fun. My best friend ran a brewery down in Albuquerque for a while, and great food. Obviously, you can go see the Breaking Bad house. You can, you can find meth. That's probably not a good idea.
You'll probably get shoot away from the Breaking Bad house.
Yeah, very, very good food. Albuquerque, super fun. And a lot of these places too, honestly, year-round golf. So if you're a golfer, yeah. Brought to you, as we mentioned earlier, by Golf NXT, you can bring your clubs to a lot of these places where you cannot in the Valley. I would guess that there's darn near year-round golf in Albuquerque, year-round in San Jose. Probably not Laramie or Colorado Springs, but by God, there's the jewel of the whole thing, and that's Honolulu. Everybody's excited to be in a conference with the Rainbow Warriors of Hawaii. And then, oddly enough, DeKalb, Illinois, which if you're a Chicago guy, you know, I'd like to maybe stay close to DeKalb, go to the city for dinner. There's unbelievable food in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if the Bears are in town, or that's an exciting thing for you. Maybe it's a late in the season, catch a Bulls game, or early in the season, go to Wrigley Field, all sorts of fun things with being that close to Chicago. And Reno, Nevada is cool too, honestly. Boise State left, Colorado State left, Fresno State left, and San Diego State left. I love San Diego so much. That one made me sad. Utah State also now in the Pac-12. It's further away, but no more Terre Haute, no more Carbondale, no more Brookings, no more Vermilion, no more Grand Forks, no more Normal, and nobody's going to Murray State either. Can't wait to, like, that Hawaii 11 kick if I'm not there.
The Hawaii test?
Yeah.
Oh, my golly. Up till 2 a.m., the Rainbow Warriors. Oh, I cannot wait. And honestly,
I think for the first one, hopefully I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
But boy, it'd be fun to go to a bar at 11 to watch a football game. It'd be so cool. And that's just the thing. Is like, I think just in general, this is going to greatly improve enthusiasm. I think it is. And yeah, there will be people that are pissed, but I think there were already enough people that didn't care and didn't go to the games and wasn't paying attention to what they were doing. I think we got a real chance here to recapture the fan base for a little bit.
Yeah, like the early part of the run, it was 18,900 people.
Every week. Yeah.
So hopefully we get a little bit of that.
And honestly, the first FBS team in the Dome is going to be such a cool thing. I don't care if it's a MAC team. Like, hopefully they don't schedule a recent – like, hopefully it's not Missouri State.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not Sam Houston.
Kennesaw.
Right, yeah. But yeah, dude, I mean, just imagine, like, all right, we got Bowling Green in the Dome. Like, I'll pack the Dome for Bowling Green. Let's go.
Yeah, I think people are going to be juiced about whoever that is. Like you said, whether it's, I don't know, maybe not Delaware. That would be another new one. But Miami of Ohio comes to town.
Yeah.
Conference USA is bad, but even like at Jacksonville State, Ohio.
I know. So some Missouri State fan was like, yeah, now Bison fans talking junk about moving up to the CUSA can shut up. It's like, it's still the CUSA, man. Yeah. It's still a terrible league.
Yeah. The other part of that, too, which is a little further down, is the stadium deal. I understand it's the, what did I put, eighth smallest FBS stadium. Kennesaw State's is like 10,000, 11,000.
And everybody knows we need to upgrade the Dome.
Yeah.
Everybody knows. I mean, if there's a way to add 5,000, 6,000 seats, I think 24,000, 25,000 would be a nice number, a realistic number moving forward. if things get bigger and you need to go to third, I mean, because I think like Kansas State University, I think has a 40,000 seat stadium, 40, 40, and they're in the Big 12.
Right.
There are happy mediums here, guys. Anyway, games primarily on Fox, CBS Sports Network, and the CW. It's a very nice deal. I'm not sure on this 100%. I would assume you can kiss WDAY goodbye.
Yeah, I don't know. Because not all games, I don't think, are on those three. I think there's some that are going to be on, like, the
Mountain West app.
Or whatever their
thing. But I think they'd farm that out. I don't think they would want to use all of WDAY's equipment and people. And I don't know. That's sure. A conversation for another day. But it will feel a lot less like small town.
Localized.
Right, exactly. It's going to feel like a national production because they're FBS.
And the other part of that too is I don't know how the game times it, because as we know, home games 2:30.
But that was FBS. That was FBS. The FBS windows are 11 a.m.
Yeah.
When college game day ends, 2:30 when NDSU already played, then the 7 o'clock, then Mountain West after dark. Yeah. And that's so, yeah, I mean, be ready to stay up later. Fox, FS1, and FS2 have 12 regular season games and the championship. CBS Sports Network will have 15 regular season games, and the CW will have 13 more games. And then, yes, there will be regionalized, I think, games on the Mountain West app. And I use the Mountain West app because shout out to Matt Entz and my dog Jared Taylor on Fresno State Bulldogs. I use the Mountain West app all darn season long, watching the Bulldogs have a nice year. Shout out to them for, of course, winning the Snoop Dogg Bowl and all getting gold chains. Oh, goodness. All right. The Dome, yeah, a lot of FBS teams don't get great attendance. Last Dome expansion vote failed pretty miserably. Season tickets and student tickets and student fees right now will remain unchanged. Okay. Good 35 minutes on the FBS stuff.
Absolutely.
I think we can go more. But hitting the rest of the news. A heartfelt, very sincere congratulations to Jalen Sundell and Gray Zabel. They are Super Bowl champions. Bobby Houck, not done coaching football, just done worrying about agents, worrying about NIL, et cetera. He is now going to be the defensive coordinator at Illinois for head coach Brett Bielema. Again, another head coach with former now NDSU relevance. That'd be Travis Johansson at USD, leaving for Rutgers. Vitsum has been promoted, but and then USD or Johansson then put Drake's head coach on his staff. So now Drake's head coach is leaving Drake to work for Johansson on Rutgers defense. Crazy stuff. Lou Walker has gone to BYU. There will be a new cornerbacks coach coming in soon, now obviously to an FBS program. Seven of the eight guys that signed last Wednesday on National Signing Day are walk-ons. Hoops! Give a good 7 minutes on hoops right here. Women's basketball is the number one mid-major team in the country. They have been projected as a number 10 seed, which is insane. Borderline and at large, if they were to falter in the Summit League Championships, I think that could be talked about. They won 20 in a row. The men dropped their first Summit League loss in a home game to Denver, beat Omaha, and they're still in first place. Denver, I would say, is better than their record, as you pointed out. Specifically scary on offense.
Yeah.
If they play a lick of defense, like Jeremiah Burke, for all of the reasons that David Richmond didn't play him here, can score. Carson Johnson can score from anywhere, and Kinsey can score. It's defensively where they have struggled so mightily. But if you're not making shots, and NDSU was not making shots
at all,
they can score. They being Denver. Denver can score. And if you're going to miss open shots, and NDSU did miss open shots, you can lose. And they did.
Yeah,
and then that Denver team went up to Grand Forks and beat the dog ass off of UND.
Oh, yeah. The belt was off by halftime. I mean, yeah, Thursday, other than Tay Smith, they couldn't.
And by the way, Omaha had UND down 13 at half and ended up not.
Yeah, choke job.
Yeah, not winning the game.
I agree with you. And I think Omaha, they were second in the league in scoring defense. You wouldn't have known it. Was not overly impressed with Omaha's defensive efforts. It was really just too easy in the post. It was barbecue chicken with Strickland and Pedersen. I mean, they're scoring at will at times. And it helps that they made more shots. But, man, Paul Jobet, that dude can hoop.
Yeah.
That dude can hoop. He's probably not going to win Summit Player of the Year because they're probably not going to be a top three seed. But, man, that dude can hoop. He can get a bucket at the rim from the midi, from three or from beyond the three-point line. He was a lot of fun to watch. Tony Osborne, eggummin, he did it again. I thought he was going to start the comeback.
They just made every shot from the six-minute mark to the two-minute mark.
They did.
Every shot went in.
Some of them were open. Others were not.
Yeah.
But Omaha's scary. That was a big win. I think, you know, you look at it's kind of clustered in the middle of the Summit League right now. Denver, Omaha, USD, who is better than their record, and South Dakota State, who apparently just isn't very good. Now, that being said, they could very well be the seventh seed.
And that's the great point that you made here on the script, is the fact that you want to be the one seed. Now, the one seed used to carry with it the ability to play in the NIT if you don't win your conference championship. I think that is gone. I don't know what NDSU's path would be were they to lose in Sioux Falls as the number one seed. Still regular season champions, et cetera, et cetera. But I think if you're not willing to sort of concede that South Dakota State stinks, and you would, I mean, you'd have to kind of concede that. The only two layups in this league, especially after what we just saw from Denver, are probably Kansas City and Oral Roberts, who, by the way, an Oral Roberts team that took North Dakota State to overtime in Fargo.
Yeah.
But boy, you know, I think you'd still really rather play the winner of KC and Oral Bob on no rest than any of the teams, Omaha, Denver, or South Dakota State, that could drop into that seven spot if you were to be the number two. And you want St. Thomas to have to run that gauntlet, I think.
Yeah.
And be on the other side of that bracket.
The other thing is, Wes pointed this out to me at the press conference Monday, that that second semifinal, so hypothetically, right, you're in the 2-3 semifinal, is at 9:30 at night. I'm going to be sleepy by that. Maybe that doesn't affect players or coaches. Maybe they just don't care.
I mean, it does, though, because guys talk about routine all the time, and you get thrown off your routine as an athlete. It's a real thing.
Yeah. But that's another thing, too, is you'd rather be playing at 7, and you would rather certainly play one of those middle-of-the-pack teams in the semis and the quarters. You do not want to be playing South Dakota State
in the first game.
In their home environment in the first game.
Yeah, you don't want a road game as the two seed against the Rabbits.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But they got some work to do there because it's, I don't know if you've looked, and by you, I mean everyone. but the last five games of the season are no layups.
No.
Kansas City has to be a win. But other than that, you got UND twice. You got to go to Grand Forks. They haven't won there in, I think, New Year's Eve of 2023 season. It's been a while up in the Betty. Got to go to Brookings. You have to go to St. Paul. Not going to be easy to get that one seed. I think they got to win at least one of those road games and then probably each of the home games to get that one seed. But we'll see. It'll be an interesting last 5 weeks.
I think if they go 3-2, they'll win the league.
That's reasonable.
It depends on, yeah. It depends. I mean, if they go 4-1, they basically will win the league because St. Thomas already has two losses.
Yeah, unless St. Thomas wins out.
It would be some sort of a tiebreaker, yeah. Coin flip, whatever. But yeah. Yeah, so North Dakota, they're 8-3 in the league. They did win that game at St. Thomas, but they just got absolutely punked by Denver at home. Really, really big turnover margin thing. And then redshirt freshman Grayson Yeoman was a walk-on,
apparently,
which is crazy. He's a really good scorer. And then Eli King is kind of a goofy-looking jump shot, but, boy, he defends the heck out of it and is a very good basketball player and has been there for a long time. He's an old man. Eli King's a good player and will probably be a second-team all-league, but potentially, like you pointed out here, the DPOY.
Yeah. Yeah, he is old. He even looks old. No shade to him, but, like, he's a very good player. And that's how they win games. Like I put, you know, turnover margin. They don't turn the ball over. I think they turned the ball over under 10 times total during their homestand last weekend. And they forced a bunch of them. I think they lead the league and force turnovers. It's pretty close with NDSU, but that's how they win games. And so, like I said, not going to be easy in the Betty.
Nope.
The game is on national TV, though.
All righty. Thank you, Blake, so much for being here. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks to Golf NXT, who you can find at golfnxt.club, for sponsoring the show. Have a great rest of your week, guys, and go Bison.